from the downtown LA Law Group Injury Help Studios.
KNX News 97.1 FM is here for our communities.
This is nonstop special coverage of the fire disaster in Southern California.
7:30 here, Mike Simpson and Vicki Moore.
Going back into the fire zones, big story today, or at least near them. But going back to what? Maybe no power or water. We're going to get a live report from our John Baird on the Palisades fire. But first,
CBS News special report. The Supreme Court has weighed in on the federal government's TikTok ban.
The Supreme Court has ruled to uphold the ban, uphold the law.
The decision did not come as a surprise to many TikTok users.
Well, it was nice knowing y'all. TikTok is getting banned officially.
What isn't clear is what comes next. The White House says it will not enforce the law. Donald Trump, who once called for the ban, is now pledged to keep TikTok available. Kelly O'Grady of Money Watch.
There's a lot of talk about a potential executive order that he could sign. He saw a lot of success during his campaign on the app, and that does seem to have changed his opinion about whether it should continue to exist. He's even said he has a soft spot for the app, and the CEO will be at the inauguration.
Trump's pick for Attorney General Pam Bondi declined to say whether she would commit to enforcing the ban. CBS News special report. I'm Cammie McCormick.
Yeah, Donald Trump, the president-elect, has talked with the president of China today. And as you heard just there, the CEO of TikTok is going to be at the inauguration. So we'll see what happens talking to an expert about this, what options the president-elect has, and talking to that expert coming up in just a few minutes.
The winds are gone, but a lot of people still cannot go back into these fire zones. We were hearing at the news conference yesterday, maybe a week or more to get back into some of these evacuation order areas. Some places adjacent to the fires, though, are opening up again. Although people who can go back, they don't have water, they don't have power. Let's go live now to John Baird. He's in the Mountain Gate community, so kind of up the hill from the 405 there in the Sepulveda Pass. John?
And I'm sitting very close to where we sat a week ago, on Saturday, actually, and watched them just pound away at the flames at the top of the ridge here at Mandeville Canyon. They were trying to protect the homes down below in Mandeville Canyon, keep the flames out of not only this area, the Mountain Gate area, but also Brentwood and Encino and Tarzana, because the fire was moving north at that point. And they just spent hours and hours doing that. And because of that effort, they were able to knock the flames out to the point that they're just looking for hot spots right now. But that's a concern with the wind coming in. Still, people are coming home, like here in Mountain Gate and an area in Encino as well. Now, they may not have water or power, but they're being allowed back in. Captain Adam Van Gerpen's with LA City Fire.
Yeah, so they did lift the evacuation order for the Mountain Gate community, and so they are able to go home. We are still, there's still a large number of areas all throughout the Palisades where they're not allowed to go back in.
And that's right, and we've been in these fire-scarred areas, the neighborhoods that were mostly wiped out by the Palisades fire. Really, they're a mess, and authorities say they're dangerous to let people back in, whether they just want to see what's left of their home or for those who have homes, retrieve some items. They've got burned electric cars, down power poles, smoldering debris, you name it. And it's going to be a while before people are allowed back in. This fire at this point is 31% contained. That's up from 27%.
A lot of the people in the Palisades area got together at a community meeting last night in West L.A. Our Pete Demetrio was there.
There were statistics and explanations from fire chiefs, police, weather, and health experts about the nature of the fire and the prospects for people reentering the burn zone. L.A. County Fire Chief Anthony Maroney asked for people to understand the efforts that have been put forth over the last 2 weeks.
We're going to get through this together, and I want you to know that we did our very best. Although we focus on stories of tragedy, I've heard so many stories of triumph. Lives saved, houses protected, and businesses that are still standing.
But to Michael Amar, still in the dark about the status of his home, the words were of little comfort.
My concern is to try to get to the house and find out what happened. So I know, is it livable, is it not livable? You know, it's very hard to live in an Airbnb and not knowing what's going to be next week and the following week.
Some at the meeting went away with a sense of having learned a little more about the nature of the disaster they'd experienced and appeared willing to accept the concept that major changes in building, planning, and zoning policies would be the price to pay if they sought to rebuild there in the future. In West LA, I'm Pete Demetrio, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Because one little TikTok can spark a really big impact.
And a billion little TikToks lead to concerns about national security, right? We've been telling you the Supreme Court has made that unanimous decision on the TikTok ban, upholding it as expected. So the date is Sunday, but we've had a few things change recently. Biden administration says they won't enforce it for the, you know, the one day that they have before Donald Trump is sworn in on Monday. So really, they're leaving this up to him. What is next? Georgetown Law and Technology Professor Anupam Chander is with us.
Professor, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. So tell me, you know the unanimous decision handed down this morning. You know all the background. So in your opinion, which way does this go now?
So now it gets to the political process. So the Department of Justice would be the one that would be enforcing this law. And the law, right as it stands, says to Oracle and various other companies that keep TikTok alive in the United States, hey, you can no longer maintain TikTok in the United States. So we should expect on Sunday, TikTok to shut down. And we have, you know, President Biden saying, oh, well, my Department of Justice is not going to enforce it on Sunday. And we've got President Trump saying, well, my Department of Justice is not going to enforce it. So we're left in a kind of legal limbo.
Shut down meaning I can't download it, but if I've got it, is it still going to work? And then just eventually it's going to like crash on me? Is that what shut down means, at least for now?
No, shut down means the app no longer works. Your app is just a window into the TikTok big computer of all kinds of videos. That big computer of all kinds of videos, of millions of videos, will no longer be accessible. So if you have stuff on your TikTok downloaded, you'll be able to watch those videos.
Get all my videos and download them right now. Yeah, my favorite stuff. Okay.
Exactly.
So you mentioned the phrase legal limbo because, you know, neither administration apparently wants to enforce this. But if no one's enforcing a unanimous decision from the U.S. Supreme Court about national security, what does that say about the court in this country?
Well, it's the reason that the Supreme Court endorsed this was the court said we defer to the president and Congress on national security matters. Okay, so the Supreme Court didn't make any assessment on national security itself. It said, you know, the president, the Biden administration, and Congress have come to us and said there's huge national security questions. We defer to them. So there's no, deference here. But so essentially, the court is going to be able follow up here the court has basically said to the political branches, now you have to do what you do, and the political branches have said, we're not going to do anything. Now, the problem is that if you're Oracle or one of these other service providers, you say the law will charge me $5,000 per user, that, and with 170 million people, that turns out to be around 850 or so billion in possible penalties.
Is there some argument to be made? And we've seen, you know, all these people already kind of fleeing to Red Note, which is actually run out of China. Is there some argument that the Trump administration could say, you know what, let's keep them on TikTok because at least, you know, maybe we can get them a new owner or the company is at least here with Chinese owners overseas, but it's not like based in China like Red Note is.
Exactly. I think that's the Trump administration's by far its best argument for keeping TikTok alive in the country because TikTok is run from the United States. The data is stored on Oracle's computers, which is why the whole thing is going to shut down on Sunday. And Trump, the incoming president, can say, look, it's much safer to have Americans working with an American company that has Chinese ownership, perhaps. By the way, majority of the owners are international investors, including lots of big American funds. So ByteDance is actually a pretty globally owned company. So yeah, so I think that's going to be, you know, rather than having people flee to Red Note, which is heavily censored and the data is flowing to China, we might want to, Trump may prefer that people stay on TikTok.
All right. Georgetown Law and Tech Professor Anupam Chander. Thanks.
The big news out of the Middle East, and this has to do, of course, with the peace agreement. The Israeli Security Cabinet has approved the ceasefire and hostage release deal with Hamas. It is now a step closer to taking effect. It's going to be presented to the full cabinet, they say, later today. And the BBC's Mark Lowen is in Tel Aviv, tells us 33 hostages are to be released.
They would be released on a weekly basis. The first releases would come on Sunday when the ceasefire deal comes into place, with three Israeli hostages released. In exchange for them, hundreds of Palestinian prisoners, possibly as many as 1,000, would be released from Israeli jails.
Both of the bodies, as they put it, are expected to okay the ceasefire, which could start as soon as Sunday.
Mother of a young American-Israeli man taken by Hamas on October 7th and later murdered, watching this deal closely.
Hirsch Goldberg-Polin was born in Berkeley. He was just 23 when he was kidnapped and wounded by Hamas after attending the Nova Music Festival. He survived for 10 months before being shot and killed by his captors last August. His mother is Rachel Goldberg-Polin.
We are so relieved that finally there is movement and progress in this horrible tragedy that so many have been enduring.
The news of this deal, of course, comes too late for Hirsch and his family. For mom Rachel, there's still much work to be done.
We still have 98 hostages there, and we need to get every single one home. And this first phase of this deal is for 33 hostages to come home. And we need to remember that it's not over until we get every single one home.
Adding to her pain and frustration, she says that when President Biden first proposed this very same deal last year, Hirsch was on the list of those who would have been freed.
I'm just a regular person, a mother, and I didn't have the power to do what had to be done.
And she says she carries that guilt.
That was Steve Scott reporting.
Medicare has announced 15 more drugs targeted for price talks, including Ozempic. CBS News reporter Alexandra Tin with more.
The Biden administration is kicking off the second round of its Medicare drug price negotiation program with 15 more medications targeted for price talks, including the blockbuster diabetes and weight loss drug Ozempic and Wegovy, which made up more than $14 billion in spending from the insurance program for seniors over the last year. Biden officials say they think it is unlikely the incoming Trump administration will be able to change the drugs they picked or upend the talks without Congress. That's because much of the process is spelled out by law.
Other drugs on the list include treatments for cancer, heart disease, and arthritis.
Just a few more days to go for President Biden, right? More clemency action from him.
President Biden is commuting the sentences of nearly 2,500 people convicted of nonviolent drug offenses. The action announced this morning gives Biden the presidential record for most individual pardons and commutations. In a statement, he says he's looking to undo, quote, disproportionately long sentences compared to the sentences they would receive today under current law.
CBS's Steve Kathan. Last month, Biden commuted the death sentences of 37 prisoners on the federal death row. Probably remember that. Commuted 1,500 other sentences, pardoned 39 people. White House called that the largest act of clemency in a single day in history. We got a lot of sports teams around here, 12 of them. 12 of the L.A. area teams joining forces today to help those impacted by the fires. The Rams, the Dodgers, Lakers, Kings, the Sparks, everybody getting together, teaming up with Fanatics and the Fanatics Foundation, distributing millions of dollars worth of merchandise to those who've been evacuated from their homes, also contributing thousands of essential items that are going to be given out at three different venues, so SoFi, Dodger Stadium, BMO Stadium. Let's go now to the Rams Executive VP of Community Impact and Engagement. That's Molly Higgins.
Molly, hi, good morning. I understand you're at SoFi this morning. What's happening there?
We are. We're getting ready to host a large essentials distribution and resource fair for those who've been impacted by the fires.
So 11 a.m. for doors, right? If I walk in and I need something, what do I see and what's this going to look like? Take me through it.
Yeah, so at 10 a.m., we're going to be transporting folks that are staying in Red Cross shelters and to do the shopping first. And then at 11 o'clock, we will open the doors for people who have been impacted and zip codes that have been impacted. So from 11 to 2, they can come in, they can shop for merchandise, they can pick up food from the L.A. Regional Food Bank, from Food Share. We have World Central Kitchen here with food trucks. We have a lot of different resources, public agencies. We'll have FEMA here. So we really wanted to be intentional about making this more than a clothing distribution. We wanted to really think about what do the families need, and let's go ahead and bring all those resources to them in one place.
You said, though, at 10 o'clock, you're transporting people from the Red Cross shelters, so they get to go in there first. Have you talked to some of those people, or and what shelters? What does that look like in terms of talking to those people and choosing them to go first?
So we work through our partners at Red Cross, and then they identify the shelters that we'll be transporting. So we're going to split those shelters among the three venues today. So some will be coming to SoFi, some Dodger Stadium, and some BMO, to make sure that we're really providing love and resources to those families in the shelters, giving them the first opportunity to do the shopping, and then we'll open the doors to others.
We've seen players, you know, donating themselves and doing what they can. I imagine also some of them were coming to you and saying, what are we doing and how can I help? And who's going to be out at some of these?
Absolutely. I just actually got off a phone call with one of our players, helping kind of him think through the best way to respond and provide assistance to the community. I think, you know, the Rams were so fortunate to have an incredible locker room of players and Coach McVay and Les Snead and Kevin Dimoff and Mr. Kroenke, all of whom are trying to figure out ways to support both financially and then through engagement. So later today, we'll have Aaron Donald here to love on the families and just support them. He'll be providing some of his products from Ready Products. And then we'll have partners like Albertsons, Vaughn's, Pavilions, who stepped up in a huge way. We called them probably on Wednesday. This thing came together pretty quickly, and they immediately responded and said, we'll provide $200,000 of grocery gift cards, so we'll be able to take care of families that way. We'll have partners like Cedars-Sinai, PacSun Clothing, True Religion Clothing, in addition to the generous contribution from Fanatics.
Very nice. Molly Higgins, Rams Executive VP of Community Impact and Engagement. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you so much for having us, and thanks for helping get the word out to those that need us.